You are listening to Help for HD Live, the first podcast created for families living with Huntington's and juvenile Huntington's disease. Don't forget to find us on iTunes, Blog Talk, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also search over 500 archived episodes and other projects at helpforhd.org. To watch us in person, find Help for HD TV on YouTube and subscribe and ring the bell for notifications on new content. Help for HD Live is going on air in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Help for HD Live. This show is made possible because of a grant from Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. I'm your host, Lauren Holder, and I've got Katrina Hamill on today with me, and we're going to be talking about home health and different types of home health and how we can go about getting home health for our loved ones with HD. Katrina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, Lauren, thanks for having me on. I'm a little under the weather, so excuse the harsh voice, but I'm ready to go. Let's talk about it.
Absolutely. I hope you feel better. I know we're sick in my household, too. So definitely thank you for joining me when you're not feeling well.
For sure.
So, Katrina, you actually have a background with, with end-of-life issues and everything. Can you kind of tell people what your background is in this?
Sure. So, as a young adult, I did some, family caregiving and things like that, and eventually went to school for caregiving. And I actually kind of switched paths and started doing, it's called medical assisting, where you can kind of draw blood and give injections and things of that sort. But when I was all done with school, I had to do like an internship of sorts, and I started working with people with dementia. And so my path changed again. And eventually I ended up doing hospice care and just kind of fell in love with how important the end of life is and just the different support services that you can offer somebody during that time. And in particular, I was working with people who had no money, no income, no family. A lot of people were straight off the streets, and it was a really big deal to me to be able to make sure that they know that they mattered and that their lives mattered and to kind of gracefully help them through the end of their life. So that kind of is where I was before I started working with Help for HD. But in that process, I've learned quite a bit about different angles of healthcare. So, yeah.
Well, and you've been extremely helpful to me. You're a caregiver yourself. So, you've been a wealth of information for me as I deal with my dad and and navigate all of this stuff with him.
That's very sweet. Yeah. And all of that kind of history that I said a moment ago was unrelated to really HD at all. But then when you bring HD into the mix, I did take care of my mom in our home, I think it was about 3 years, and then helped navigate the system of placement, and then also kind of walked side by side with Katie, our president and CEO of Help for HD, with her husband, and helping to place Mike, and then currently am taking care of Kevin, brother with Huntington's, and he's still living in his home. So yeah, some different angles there for sure.
Yes, and your plate is definitely full as a caregiver and everything that you do. And so, it's greatly appreciated that you are able to take the time that you do to support the Huntington's community. Being directly affected and taking care of your brother yourself. So
I
wanted to point that out. So let's delve into what home health care is.
Sure. So there's a little bit of confusion between home health care and in-home care. So home health care actually has nurses and licensed professionals, occupational therapy, physical therapy, things of that nature. And then home home care or in-home care. It's literally just missing one word, which is the word health. So they kind of get a little bit of gray areas, so to speak. But the home care is more of like individuals that are caregivers and are quote unquote like non-skilled, which literally just means that they probably have an immense amount of experience, but they don't have the license that would be required to have home health care. So home health care is, to get back to your question, is it's a usually an agency that is complete of different licensed individuals, a nurse, an occupational therapist, a speech therapist, a physical therapist, and then even home health aides, which are typically CNAs, and they also have like certifications in like giving someone a bath, a shower, a little bit more detailed in that area. So they can come in and help a loved one with bathing or getting dressed and things of that nature. They also have things like Reiki and massage therapists that are often but not always offered, but it's something to know that it can be available if you look at different agencies.
It's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So home health care is different than palliative care in hospice, right?
Correct. And sometimes like an agency will offer, like a home health care agency will be strictly home health care, and they will do all of the nursing visits. If you have wound management needs, if you have an IV need, if you have a PEG tube or, you know, different things like that, they can come in, the nurse can handle what needs to be handled, and that can happen for years. But when somebody's condition changes or progresses into palliative needs, or hospice needs, then they might either have to refer you to the agency in their area that helps families with palliative care and hospice, or they may be able to transition you through. Some places offer the transitional care, but then you may need to switch over your team. And that's actually important and necessary for most people, because the needs change and the needs develop into something quite different than your typical skilled nursing needs. For example, if somebody just needed someone to come in and bathe them and change their catheter every couple of days and things of that nature, and then that was kind of the basis of the meetings, that would be one thing for several years. But then if it became more of a pain management issue or dystonia issue and it was kind of out of their scope of practice, then they would refer them to the next team who has a little bit more detailed experience with pain alleviation and things of that nature. So, some people don't realize that there is such a difference between the palliative and hospice. Palliative care is about, of course, making somebody comfortable. But the good thing about being on palliative care is there's access to more medications. When somebody is placed on palliative care, there isn't so much of an alarming reaction coming from the pharmacy when medications are higher dosed or multiple combinations of medications. But also you get other services as far as the support is concerned. And then moving into hospice care, you know, they say when somebody goes on to hospice, typically, and of course there's always, you know, room for variation, but typically somebody going on to hospice has 6 months or less to live. But in a lot of cases, what happens at the 6 month mark is then they just have to be reevaluated. And if there was any sort of a decline, then they would continue services. And so sometimes people get very worried about quote unquote, activating hospice because they feel as though this is the end, it's happening now. And in fact, it's just the supportive services to offer to people and families to make sure that if it is the time that you are supported, when it is the time you are supported. So that may have been kind of jumbled up there, but basically palliative care is measures. And they are all separate from home health care, though they can be intermingled. Home health care can be for somebody's entire life, somebody who's born with a disability that enables them or makes it necessary for them to have the health care in home. That could last a lifetime. and then obviously some of those services would change and shift as the person became sicker and sicker. So anyway, home health care is broad. It's very broad. And for us in the HD community, it's helpful for somebody who has higher needs than what a caregiver can provide. But the problem with receiving these services is, of course, you know, needing to pay for them and needing to qualify for the services in order to pay for them. And so it can get pretty tricky.
Well, and that's the thing to ask next is, how would somebody go about paying for them? Because as you mentioned, you'd have to qualify for them. And so when you're looking at somebody paying, who do we look to for that?
So, I mean, I think in general, you know, we want to look at, you know, Medicare, Medicaid programs like that to see if you are eligible. And if you are already on those programs, like, for example, my brother is, and he was needing some services at home, and I didn't want to have to take him out 4 or 5 times a week to start up doing things like occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. I thought it would be more convenient and not just for us, but for Kevin to feel comfortable in his own home to learn how to do these things with his own surroundings. So we wanted to bring home health care in. And we had to start with his neurologist. And his neurologist is very open to writing scripts for things that are necessary for Kevin. So if I backtrack a little bit, it is necessary to have a doctor-written prescription to qualify for home health services. You can't just necessarily call them up, although I can't even say that's true because I'm not 100% sure. I've never tried that, but from what my understanding is you do need a doctor's order, because what happens is they end up working under that doctor. So, for example, if the nurse is in the home and they see a drug interaction or they see an injury, they have to report it to a doctor. So then they would contact my brother's doctor, and then they can kind of make up a decision. So you have to have that prescription, from my understanding. Yes. And yeah, do you know that too, Lauren? Yeah. Cause I'm saying that. I'm like, oh my goodness, I believe that's true, but I always hate saying this is a fact. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm a little wrong.
So you have to have a doctor's, like they have to write an order for it, an order for Medicare or Medicaid to cover. Otherwise they won't cover it.
Right. So some complications that have come into play have been a little bit of a fight back from, you know, Medicare or Medicaid, where they're like, well, does he really need this service? Or does he really need, even when it comes down to, does he really need this wheelchair? They're covering less and less. So it's very difficult to kind of navigate this system. Place that will pay for the most amount is the Medicare, Medicaid, right? There are some state-run programs, for example, in California, and I think they have something similar in Florida, but I'm not sure. And I'm sure all over the U.S. they have different programs per state and even per county. But ours is called In-Home Support Services, and it's basically you have to have like a few hours of training just so that they know that you're capable of certain things and willing to do certain things and reporting issues and things like that. And then you kind of, you're your own employee of the person you're taking care of. So right now, I am my brother's employee. He gets IHSS hours and he can choose to just use me or use multiple people throughout the community that are certified as an IHSS worker. And it's all paid for by the state because he is of low income. So there are programs out there available and even that, you know, family members can help. So like if I, of course, could pay somebody in the community to take care of my brother, but that would not be preferable for him. So if he would prefer to have me and I just go get certified, then they would pay me to take care of him. And in turn, I use that money for him, which is actually really convenient. You know, things like the purchases we need to make for him or food or whatever. We just kind of turn it around like that. So definitely programs. And it really, Google is a great source. You know, if you just Google like in-home support services, California, you would come up with that link. Or again, you could Google different things in your area. But one place that I believe is across the nation is the Area Agency on Aging, which of course it says it in its name, aging. And you would typically think that it's just for the elderly population, but they are very helpful with getting referrals or getting you kind of pointed in the right direction. And of course, if you are lucky enough to have a great social worker knows your area, knows the state programs that are available to you, and honestly probably knows if you would qualify without you having to go through all the hoops and blowing the whistles and, you know, trying to do all of this different work that and just to find out that you didn't qualify. My point is just definitely connect with those who can support you because this can be a very long road. You need those supportive services if they're available to you. I'm always willing to help families. I'm not terrific at it because I'm not a social worker, but I am always willing to try and search different programs in different areas. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not, but I can definitely put people in touch with other people in the community to try and help. But the payment has been the most difficult part, trying to get those services that are needed into your home can be hard. But Medicare, Medicaid have been pretty good to us. They haven't given us any fight back as far as what Kevin needs. And so he has had the physical therapy, the occupational therapy, He had, speech come in and talk about a couple of different things, and be prepared to teach these groups a little bit about Huntington's disease. We do have, videos and brochures and stuff on our website at helpforhd.org where you can, use these tools to help teach the team members about Huntington's, and most people have been pretty open to that, to learning about his specific disease. And then they also, through these home health care agencies, often have a medical social worker that can also help if you don't have one around your area that you are already working with. These home health care agencies do have social workers available to help.
So I want to point out one thing too, and I love that California is so proactive. I wish North Carolina was. But as far as getting those services, yes, it can be very difficult. And one of the things to remember, if you're looking for in-home care or home health services, if you're using Medicaid, there are wait times depending on where you're located. So there could be a wait list and it could be months. And so that's something to consider. It's something that you might want to get your loved one on that list as soon as possible. So you get the order from your neurologist and then contact Medicare and Medicaid and find out what you need to do to get on that list, specifically Medicaid, to get on that list for services, because here in North Carolina, it's, I mean, months of waiting.
Oh my goodness. And so does that mean that to get, like, if you want to apply for Medicare or Medicaid, or if you need services from Medicare or Medicaid?
If you need services from Medicare or Medicaid. So Medicare usually is pretty good.
Okay, so your dad already has them in place, but in order to get services from them, it takes months. Is that what you mean? I'm just trying to understand that because I didn't realize that. My goodness, that must be really frustrating when you already have the payment availability and unable to receive the services. That's kind of frustrating.
So frustrating.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is it depends on the county as well. So the county that Dad was in had a really long wait time as to where the county he's in now, which is the county I'm in, they are able to provide services faster. So that's something to consider as well. It depends on the county.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely smart. And I was going to mention that as well, is just it's never too soon to look into these programs. Right now you can think everything's going really smooth, there's no needs, but it'll come up and get you real quick. And you just kind of have to think about what's available out there in your state and what's available in your county, what is available in your city. Because you may not use these services today, but you may need them in a couple of months. And as Lauren's stating, gosh, you know, just to know what's available and to even begin that discussion with a social worker or your team, your care team, just to start talking about it, like, when this has to happen, where do I begin? So you can have all your ducks in a row and start the process as soon as you're able. That's really smart.
So definitely start that conversation. You know, if those are things that you're looking at to do, home health and in-home care, go ahead and have conversations with Medicaid if you're applying for that, to make sure that you know all of your options and if they have a wait list, because wait lists can be, you know, anywhere from 2 months to 6 months. And so those are things to consider and to know ahead of time, because if you're having, you know, if you need it right away and you can't get it right away, it's very frustrating.
Sure. Yeah. I can't imagine. Gosh, that would be really hard. Well, yeah. So definitely the sooner the better to get even conversations flowing and learning what you have in your area is probably the best advice out there.
Yes. And Medicare is usually, because Medicare works differently, you know, and it's a federal program, not a state program.
Right.
So usually when you get an order from the doctor, they can automatically do the Medicare, and those services can start right away. But if you're needing something through Medicaid, because Medicare is limited on what type of services they can provide, and so they're going to focus more on that skilled, so the home health side of it, the PTOT, the speech therapy, for in-home skilled care. And Medicaid, they have an aspect of that too, but they also have the in-home care program, which we were talking about. And again, that's where you see these wait lists. I mean, technically with Medicaid in North Carolina, it's wait lists for both. But
gosh,
Medicare will not do in-home care. They just do the skilled care. So those are things to consider too.
Right. Yeah. And I do know that they're trying to work on that. Who they are, I don't know. But I do know that, like, I read something a while back about trying to get caregiver services kind of implemented through the, the federal system or what have you, kind of linked up with the home health care, which would be really, really beneficial to our community, but everywhere. You know, it's just something that's needed when you don't necessarily need care, but you need assistance, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So definitely look into, you know, what's available in your state, because each state's going to be different and each county is going to be different when it comes to Medicaid. Medicare is going to be pretty similar across the board, but Medicaid, you're going to find different things in different counties. So like in Stokes County where Dad was, they didn't have the personal care services like they have in Forsyth County. And so we have more options available to us in Forsyth County than we did in Stokes County. Again, wait lists. And one of the other things that I have to say is because of the pandemic, things are really crazy right now. And so you've got to really, really stay on the case managers right now because they are inundated with people trying to get in-home care services. And so their plates are full. And so if you don't call regularly, they're going to not get back to you just because they're having a hard time with everything with pandemic because more people are doing in-home. So, so definitely remember that. Stay on top of case managers and social workers and stuff. And it's, I know that it's going to feel like you're bothering them, but sometimes you have to just to get stuff done. I mean, that's been my experience with Dad. Like, we have to stay on them in order to get any type of help. Dad is palliative, but he's not hospice because of being on dialysis. And he had, like, for a while there, he said that he wanted to go off dialysis, but then when we finally explained to him, you know, what that meant, he's not ready for that. So, you know, those are things to consider as well. What other conditions are going on as far as, these are all things that you have to take into account when you're looking at getting in-home and that skilled care. Make sure they write down everything. It doesn't have to be Huntington's related. You're going to want to write down any type of medical condition to try to get whatever services you can get.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Well, Katrina, I think those were the biggest questions I had for you. I mean, the big thing is you talk to your doctor to get that order to get those skilled, that home health skilled service as well as in home. And do you know, you said there were other programs available. Do you know if any type of private insurances cover things like home health?
They do. Typically, you're just going to have to honestly call your policy. There's so many out there. And also, some people don't realize that it's even written into their policy already. Now, we all know how hard it is to have, you know, like a long-term care or, you know, things like that, but that's separate from having services come into your home. So just kind of the best thing to do is not even go over your policy, but to call your policy and say, do you offer this? And if you do, how many hours and what's the cost to me? And they can break it all down for you. That's my best advice, because if I go into any details, it'll be so it won't be broad enough to cover everyone. But some people don't even realize that they do have home health care kind of written into their insurances and their plans. So definitely look into that. And definitely, you know, take notes, write notes, and keep track of everything. That way, when you're so busy and going through this pandemic and needing to make a million phone calls, you can refer back to saying like, okay, yeah, I called the social worker a week and a half ago this day. We discussed plan. So you can kind of refer to your notes. I know that's helped me a lot with my brother, is just kind of keeping track of everything. Because I do get forgetful when there's so much going on with his care needs.
Oh, yes. Same here. I have to actually set reminders on my phone.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too. Reminders on the phone. That'll work.
Well, Katrina, thank you so much for coming on and talking about home health with me. And thank you again for all that you're doing. And I just can't tell you enough how much I appreciate you and Katie and all that you guys do.
Oh, you're so sweet. And we appreciate you. And we're here. You know, give us a call 24/7. We're around.
Thanks so much. We're going to end the show there. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to visit www.help4hd.org and sign up for our email newsletter to stay up to date on all that is going on at Help for HD. Get social with us and like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to Help for HD TV on YouTube, and ring the bell for notifications.